Morning, everyone.
Just before the prelude this morning, some of you may have seen the organized mess of papers here on the front pew. There, Elaine's just checking it out. It's pretty organized, right? That is the music that the choir is using. And I know some people appreciate having the notation, and we're trying to figure out an easy way for you to pick that up. But if you would like to have music notation to follow along on the service music or the hymns, which are in the hymn book, but mostly the service music, it's right up here. And feel free to come up and pick it up. If you really like it, you can take it home. That's fine. But you can just put it back on the appropriate pile afterwards. So just feel on a regular basis, feel welcome to come and share in the music that we have out here, and we encourage you to participate and sing. So that said, would anyone like copies of the service music this morning? Bet would like that. Okay, I'll get a couple of copies right now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James on this beautiful winter Sunday morning. I'm glad that you're all here. Apparently, the time changed. That is not something I've had to deal with in the last 8 years. I don't like it. But I'm glad everyone is here this morning. We've got a couple of announcements. The first one I'm going to go with is this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. There is a continuation of our St. James Praying in Different Ways program that we're running. This Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Westminster Room, Andrea Manius is going to be talking about singing as prayer. And we have enlisted the help of our wonderful Stephen Hollowitz to help us with that. So come and sing along. And the other half of that is going to be talking about icons with myself. If you're familiar with the iconographic symbols of faith and things like that, they're very fascinating, and it's quite interesting to pray with a picture instead of a bunch of words. So if that piques your interest at all, I'd invite you to come out at 7 o'clock on Wednesday at the Westminster Room. I think there's a couple of other announcements. I think Bette's going to come up, and I think I know what Bette's going to talk about. Oh gosh, it's really snowing out there. Cool.
I was going to say Merry Christmas, but he stole my thunder. I'm here on behalf of FunScript, which are the gift cards that we have out on the table, which we get out every 2 weeks. So in an effort to reduce our inventory, we are having a special sale, and everybody loves a sale, but it's only on a selected number of cards. So there's 10% off certain cards. It'll be just till we get rid of these cards. So come out and see what we've got on sale. They will be on a separate table, so come out and check it out. We will continue to carry the cards on a regular basis. The ones you regularly use and want, they're going to be out there every other week until the fall, and then we'll start doing again every week. But if you have specific orders, we can put in an order for you. Judy brought in the new order forms. I've got them printed off. You can take them home, use them, and then give them back, except for today. If you need any specific cards for Easter, for gifts, for whoever you want, we will need those orders by tonight. Am I right? So you can call Judy with an order. Again, look at the order forms to see which cards you want for Easter. They have to be ordered by tonight. There is a service charge on orders, so we have to be careful how often we do use that. So come and see us. There'll be four of us out there. We're kind of friendly. Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also.
Please stand.
Hold us in your grace, O God. Hold us in your grace.
Hold us in your grace, O God. Hold us in your grace. In your grace. Hold us in your grace. Hold us in your grace, O God. Hold us in your grace. Hold us in your grace, O God.
Hold us in your grace.
Holy God, we confess to you our selfishness and our lack of love.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy One, we confess to you our fear and our failure in sharing of our faith.
Fill us with your spirit.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy One, we confess to you our stubbornness and our lack of trust.
Fill us with your spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy One, we confess to you all that distracts us from your mercy and love. In your gracious compassion, fill creation with your spirit.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sin, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, forevermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for a proclamation from Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water. We detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself. To which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel to praise the name of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. For my kindred and companions' sake, I pray for your prosperity. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
The Lord be with you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds might not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
King of eternal glory, praise God.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm not sure those are the readings we were supposed to have today. I mean, they are, they're right, but they don't fit with what I was wanting to do. You see, today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. Lent is a time that's traditionally dreary, a little bit self-deprecating. I've been trying to explain over the last 4 weeks how I see Lent as a joyous season, but I'm not sure everyone's bought that message. But today was a really special day, because today is the fourth Sunday. It's the time where we lighten up a little bit from our Lenten disciplines and have a little bit of joy. In fact, that's why I'm wearing the lovely rose vestments, because it's not quite as dark and ominous as the purple vestments of Lent. It's a little lighter, it's a little happier, it's a little more joyful. The Church of England celebrates Mothering Sunday on this day, and so often carnations are given out to the ladies in the congregation, and this is the UK's Mother's Day. It's a really lovely and uplifting Sunday, and we get to talk about snakes. I'd like to talk about snakes next Sunday, because that's St. Patrick's Day. I've got a great sermon about snakes and St. Patrick together. Drove them all out of Ireland, don't you know? But that's not today. Today we've got to somehow take what the church is doing about joy and a little bit of levity and upliftingness and talk about snakes biting and killing people in the wilderness. Cool. Well, all right, everyone, buckle in. Let's see how we do. Well, one of the first things that I notice in the Old Testament reading, and I don't know if it stuck out to you, but I think it did because I heard a chuckle, was the comment, "They took us out into the wilderness where there is no food, and we detest this miserable food." It's like, okay, so which one is it? Either there's no food or you detest the food. You can't have both. It doesn't work that way. And yet, isn't it true that often in our lives we find ourselves in a situation where we over-exaggerate or inflate the problems that we're facing? It might not be that we don't have the food. It might be that we just really don't like it. And I think that's an important thing to hold up, because that disconnect leads into the next really hard verse in the Old Testament. And I was in a conversation today where somebody said, "I don't believe God works like that, and I think the Old Testament is wrong." The problem was the verse where God sent the serpents to the Israelites. There was a real sense of, well, why would God do that? God's a loving God. God's a compassionate God. Why would God send snakes into the midst to bite his people and kill them? And I got to tell you, I'm not entirely disagreeing with the person I had that conversation with. It would be nice to say, oh, weren't the snakes there already? And God sent them because God created everything. And so in a way, we're all sent by God to wherever we are. Maybe we could wrestle with that. Maybe we could. But I think the part that I found most interesting, and the part that I think is the most spiritually useful for us, is what the Israelites ask Moses to do. And they ask him to get rid of these snakes, be our St. Patrick for us, and take care of this problem. And what does Moses do? He prays to God for the people. Not for what the people want, but for the people. And then God does something completely unexpected and a little bit ridiculous, and tells them to make a serpent of bronze and stick it up on a pole so that whoever gets bitten, because they're going to keep getting bitten, can look at the pole and live. God doesn't take away the problem. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure many of you have been in situations like me where I'm praying to God and I'm saying, God, I've had this cold for 3 days. I'm done with it. Just take it away from me. That would be great. Or any one of a number of other things, the pain that I have, the sadness, the frustration, the struggle, God, just take it away from me. And sometimes God does that, sometimes, but not nearly as often as we want. And so maybe this story in the Old Testament can give us a new lens to look at those frustrations and struggles in our lives. What does God do? But instead takes a problem and adds a layer over it, adds something to it that makes it a symbol of grace. God takes the snakes that are biting and killing people add something, and then it becomes a proclamation of the power that God can do. It's almost like an ancient torture device, some death that would be reserved for only the most political and the most despicable people, something humiliating and degrading like a cross. Only God could take something, add it to it, and turn it into a symbol of beauty that we wear around our necks. Only God could take something as common as bread, the most simple form of food that we eat, and wine, one of the earliest drinks that we've ever produced, and say, through bread and wine, my presence will be made known to you. If you were to invite somebody to a feast at your house, would you serve bread and wine and that's it? No, there'd be meat and there'd be so much other things, unless you're vegetarian. But God takes the simplest things, the bread and the wine that we need to survive, adds a layer over it, Jesus' prayer at the Last Supper, and gives it back to us as a spiritually transformed and beautiful thing. For us in our Sunday of Lent, where we're supposed to be joyful and we're stuck reading about snakes, let's wonder. Let's wonder together what God could do if God added something to the situations in which we find ourselves in that could transform them and let them proclaim love instead of fear, acceptance instead of rejection, peace instead of war. Let us let God lift us up in all that we do, trusting that the transforming work of God will work in our lives, will work in our struggles, that every frustration or every problem has within it a seed of grace and glory that might not be for us, but might be for the world around. Let us continue to be lights that shine in the darkness. Let us shine with Christ's light. In this time when so much is uncertain and so much is in doubt. But the thing that God doesn't call the Israelites to do and doesn't call us to do is to hide from those problems that we have. It's not to ignore them and pretend they don't exist. The snake on a pole was the problem lifted up. Everyone had to face their fear in order to overcome it. Let us trust in God's strength that as we face and tackle the issues in our lives, that grace will be there, that grace will abound, and all will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Having heard the words of God proclaimed in Holy Scripture, and having wrestled with what they might mean for us today, let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please take a position of prayer.
Loving Lord Jesus, on the cross you revealed the Father's heart. As we lift high the cross, may we never be ashamed of its message of salvation. Give grace to your church to proclaim your glory. God of our salvation,
we trust in your cross.
Loving Lord Jesus, you confront our fears and expose the secrets of our hearts. Lighten the path of those to whom we give the responsibility of government. May we honor that which is true and right. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Loving Lord Jesus, Moses gave the sign of the serpent for healing. Bless all involved in pharmaceutical research. We give thanks for the benefits of the application of science. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Loving Lord Jesus, you reached out to all who came to you by day and by night. Hear our prayers for all in need of your healing touch. Today we pray especially for Anna, Sylvia, Gavin, Kathy, Melissa, Elrose, Eunice, Robert, Catherine, Joan, Sandy, John, Marlene, Ashley, Lou, Fred, Joel, and Ava. Send forth your word, and we shall be restored to wholeness in you. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Loving Lord Jesus, you are rich in mercy, and we depend on your grace alone to save us. In this hope, we commend to you all who have died, remembering especially Bev, who died Friday. Hold your cross before us that we may have eternal life. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Would the congregation please stand? Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of mercy and compassion, your word calls us home to faith and love. Accept all we offer you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We break this bread.
Body,
let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we abide in him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign.
Behold the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Giver of life, you enlighten all who come into the world. Fill our hearts with the splendor of your grace, that we may perfectly love you and worthily praise your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its end, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
send me.